which means that, you know, at Nationals, top two turned pro. So missed a pro card by one spot, which, you know, it's not all about the pro card, but, you know, it would have been nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
wait. Hold on a second. Yeah. It's not all about the pro card. This interview is done. You're not even real. Okay. You have no passion. You're not hardcore, and there's no longer beast mode. So I'm the fuck out of here.
Hey, what's up, guys? Scott McNally here. I'm with Skip Hill, and we're going to have a conversation with Nate Spear. He just snuck up into Nationals, and Nate, you didn't post anything about it. You looked fantastic, man. First of all, how did you do at the show?
So we ended up getting third place. It was actually pretty close, honestly. So a lot of these shows, they don't end up having the rejudge at finals. And at this one for the super heavyweights, they ended up having a rejudge, which I can talk more about because it was actually really exciting. And it was really, the crowd went pretty crazy, which usually doesn't happen to have bodybuilding shows. You know, most people are saying how boring they are and yeah. Crowd's never into it. It was like the opposite of that. So that was really great. So I ended up placing third, which means that, you know, at Nationals, top two turned pro. So missed a pro card by one spot, which, you know, it's not all about the pro card, but. You know, it would have been nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
wait. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
It's not all about the pro card. This interview is done. You're not even real. Okay. You have no passion. You're not hardcore. And there's no longer beast mode. So I'm the fuck out of here.
Exactly. Who's this guy?
So, yeah, we just we wanted to do this show to talk to Nate about the incredible progress that he's made over the last year since the last time he had stepped on stage. We wanted to talk to him about what it took to get here too, and talk about the conditioning that he put together. Now I know I just said the last time you stepped on stage, but that wasn't a year ago. That was at North Americans just a few months ago, wasn't it? Right.
Yeah. So it was a 12 weeks apart, North Americans, which I just came off actually a second place. Finish at super heavyweights. That means I missed the pro card there by another placing. So sort of bittersweet though, you know, because this is my first year. I think I really made a big splash this year, because before that, the best I'd done it was at seventh place at USA's. So I really didn't even got first call out yet or top five. So to go from that and then, you know, be runner up to a pro card, I guess, two national shows this year, it's sort of bittersweet, you know what I mean? So it's definitely a win. And I really can't, like, you know, be mad about that at all.
Yeah, no kidding, man. So, Skip, I'm talking to Nate about, you know, I did a small mini series for Think Big and Advices Radio, Road to Nationals, and Nate was giving me suggestions. I was like, hey, man, you know, who would you suggest I talk to? He's introducing me to various people, telling me, oh yeah, you should talk to this guy. This guy'd be good for the podcast. You know, so I'm doing all these interviews, and little did I know, he's quietly prepping. He didn't make a single post about it until about 3 days out.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that, and it's funny because, you know, I know Nate from social media and just basically his posts. I mean, we haven't run into each other anywhere, and haven't had lunch together or anything like that. I've seen his Tinder account, which is, you know, but I mean, you know, priorities right now. You're trying to get a pro card. I understand, but if you have a little bit of downtime, get that taken care of. Look, Scott knows this, Nate might not. I like humility, and being an old ratchety, jaded, you know, guy who's been around for a long time, I don't see a whole lot of it. So when I hear him say things like, you know, that it isn't, I was just razzing him a little bit, but I like to hear things like that, you know, that the pro, it's not all about the pro card and everything. I think a lot of people really get lost. They're so focused on the destination, and it's how fast they can get there, especially now with the new divisions and anything else where you only have to train 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Open bodybuilding is a little bit different because obviously there's a lot more time involved to get to the pro cards, even though they do give out more pro cards. But it's good to hear because so many people lose the journey aspect of the whole thing. And it's kind of ironic when you think about it, because there are some people who are going to get their pro cards and never win another show again. Mm-hmm. So to say that he finds the excitement, which has, I mean, I don't know Nate's situation. He may go and dominate in the pros. I don't know that. What I'm saying though is it sounds like, Nate, you're enjoying the process, which is not very common. I would expect more people when they're interviewed to find excuses about how, even if they don't say it, they almost are thinking, well, you know, I should have won that. And, you know, their friends are hearing how, you know, oh, fuck, man, I got to go back and I got to do this again and everything else. So to hear you say that is kind of nice. And it reminds me that there's still people with humility and there's still good people who are enjoying the journey and enjoying the fight. And I think that's fucking cool.
Yeah, tell us about it, Nate. Why did you keep a lid on the whole thing?
Honestly, it was actually, so after North Americans, we sort of like sat on it a little bit, went back to regular life, sort of felt it out, me and my coach Andrew Berry. And then after a week, I mean, everything felt good. Like, I felt fresh, like stress was low, just everything felt like it was still clicking. And then so we were like sort of pulled the trigger on it. And, you know, I really wanted to sort of test myself, I guess, per se, because I am sort of in that sort of millennial group of coming up on Instagram, Facebook, social media.
Yeah.
And I won't lie, like, guys won't really admit it because they want to seem hardcore, but I won't lie, like, when I post a picture during prep and I get like all these likes and comments, it feels good.
Sure.
It gives me motivation, you know what I mean? So it's one of those things where it's almost like it helps feed the prep.
Yeah.
I wanted to almost like be able to be by myself and like really, it helped me dig, and this is no knock on anyone that has, however they want to do their prep.
Sure.
But it just really helped me be able to like dig inside myself and just sort of like not need like outside motivation. And it was almost like much more calming and like less stress, because, you know, sometimes you might post a picture and someone will be like, they might say anything, and just because you're in prep, you might take it the wrong way. Like, oh, am I fat or am I like flat or, you know what I mean? Whatever.
Yeah.
So it sort of helped me also to like sort of just get like do the work and not really focus or not really think about anything else. You know what I mean? It was just sort of like get my head down. I know what I needed to do from North Americans. The plan was just to get like pretty much more conditioned because like I'm a smaller super too. So I knew I wasn't going to outsize those guys. So I was like sort of playing my strengths. Like I was already pretty well conditioned for North Americans, but I knew, like, everyone was like, oh, man, you're shredded and this and that. But, like, deep down, I knew I could be better. You know what I mean? It was like, man, I know I can, like, get even better. And so that's sort of what we did. And pretty much just sort of keeping the prep silent. It was just sort of like, it almost like it went by so quick, too. Like, it was almost just, like, not even really, like, every day my focus wasn't on it. It was just, like, going through the process. Whereas, like, everyone didn't know I was doing nationals and, like, blowing me, you know what I mean, like messaging me all the time, and I wasn't sending pictures to all these people and whatever. It was just sort of like going through the steps, and then it just was like, oh shit, I'm like 2 weeks out, oh shit, I'm a week out. Like, whereas before it was like the anxiety and like the anxiousness of like counting down the days before Christmas, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where it was like slowly going by, and it's like, man, 3 weeks feels like 4 months. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, the way like, the way you're explaining it, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, is it safe to say then that sometimes social media is just essentially a distraction? I mean, it can be a stress or a distraction, I think, more than we might think that it is. And we almost have an obligation, I mean, yourself too, because you're so close to getting that card. And for what it's worth, you know, I don't in any way want you to feel jinxed by me saying this, but it's a formality as far as I'm concerned. Your physique and your conditioning is so good that I'm actually surprised you don't have one. You're better, and this isn't a knock on anybody who has already gotten a pro card or anybody who beat you for that matter either. I don't want to, you know, sound disrespectful to them, but there are people who have their cards that you're better than, in my opinion. So I do think it's a formality as long as things continue to go, you know, you stay injury free, you stay healthy and, you know, you walk through the steps and take and jump through the hoops. But I do think that sometimes there's this obligation to stay out there. You're training people now, which puts another obligation on you to stay out there, because the more you post and the more you engage, the more potential people are going to be interested in contact you for work. So, you know, for you to be able to step back, I'm sure it wasn't easy, quite frankly. And like you said, you're honest in admitting that there is some motivation there when people, you know, can engage and tell you, hey, it, you know, it kind of kicks you in your ass, and it helps you out a lot on those days where you might need that little bit of a psychological kick. So is that safe to say? I mean, it can be a distraction. Do you agree?
Oh, totally. And then not only that, like, because I just came off a second place finish at North Americans, I know if I said I was doing nationals, you know how many people would be like, oh, you're next in line.
Yeah.
You'll get that pro card. Like, and for me, I've always been realistic. Like, I always know at these national shows, like, everyone is fucking good. You know what I mean? So it's like, and some of these guys, like, when are they going to nail it? You know what I mean? There's a handful of guys that, you know, if they nail that, they could probably turn pro. But there's, you know what I mean? It's sort of like that inconsistency of, like, some of those top national guys. So I didn't want to be, and I didn't want to have, like, people say, like, you know, like, you're next in line and sort of start to believe that. Because I don't want to, like, rest on my laurels, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just want to push myself to be even better than I was my last showing. And I think if I posted that, then I'd create that sort of hype because I was the next in line, because I placed second at North Americans, the last national show. You know what I mean?
Well, I know, and I just made that statement, which doesn't help either, so I apologize. But I'm just being honest in the sense that your physique and your conditioning, the way things have gone for you and the way you progress, I do see it as a formality. I know that doesn't help your situation. I'm just being honest with you. But I can see where the expectations that people have of you or that they put on you can be another added stress. So staying away from social media also helps with that too, because there were no expectations. By the time anybody knew you were there to just get it done. The work had been done. So I get it. I understand that.
Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
I just had that same issue happen, Skip, that happened yesterday where my camera shut down on me. So we switched cameras. Thanks for holding it together there for a minute.
I knew something was up because I was going to ask Nate. I'm like, isn't it difficult to keep talking when you're not sure the other motherfucker's listening to you?
Well, I appreciate you keeping it together for me. So, Nate, what do you think the big difference was this year? Because you said that, you know, in the past you hadn't been quite as successful. But, you know, obviously you were, as you said, man, you were right there. You were knocking at the door. Tell us about what you had done in your off season to bring the improvements to put this package together this year. Because you made some incredible, I'll use the word gains this year.
I mean, well, one thing that I always sort of had an issue with was when I got to the national level is I'd sort of like psych myself out. And I hate when people blame, like, you know, stress or cortisol, but I mean, some of the times I would do like a qualifier and I'd look spot on 100% on the money, you know what I mean? And then I get the national show and it was almost like I didn't really nail it. You know what I mean? I was just like a little bit off, or, you know, I wasn't quite as full, or I was a little bit watery. So I think this year, like, the biggest thing, me and my coach Andrew sort of like came together and came to a mutual ground of like, okay, like, the main focus for North Americans was really to reduce any stress. Like, it sounds sort of like almost like, I don't know, like a cop out, but I would almost like, I would turn people's like stories off and like turn their, like, mute their posts that were like my competition.
Okay.
Just because, like, I get in my own head sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, following all these other guys and everyone looks good on Instagram, you know what I mean? So sometimes I would see people and sort of like get psyched out a little bit. So, like, one thing, I just try to stay off social media a little bit more, which is also hard because, you know, I run that bodybuilding group and I post people and all that stuff too. So
absolutely,
it's like a catch-22. But as far as like the off season progress, like, a big thing for me was like going through my poses and like breaking them down and like training, going through my training that way. Like, a lot of people will just sort of be like, hey, I want to put on 10 pounds of tissue, but not really know like where they're going with it. Like, for me, I really like went through and said, okay, I need a better front double bicep. Like, how can I do that? You know what I mean? So I would sort of base my training around like, okay, like, how can I target my lats more? And then even like my shoulders and my arms, because like, if I have bigger biceps, my front double bicep will look better.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And little things like that. And like training my adductors, you know what I mean? The same thing, I'd go through my back double bicep and be like, okay, so if I have bigger delts there too, a lot of guys have great back double biceps, but it's because they have good arms and delts, you know what I mean, that really like highlight that. It's not necessarily the back. Like Flexilis is a great example of that. He has a great back double bicep, but it's not necessarily because he has a great back. It's because he has great arms and delts, you know what I mean? So I would go through each pose and sort of train that way. And my training was very different. It wasn't like necessarily a progressive overload, but very getting in the contraction, perfecting my reps. Execution was like perfect, you know what I mean? Still train heavy, but like start from scratch, perfect the reps, and then, you know what I mean, increase the strength that way.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's exactly, Skip and I have talked a lot about that. I think that's where we can get hung up, you know, with progressive overload too, thinking that progressive overload is just putting more plates on the bar or getting more reps with that heavy amount of weight. But I think that the foundation of that, and I think you agree with me, Skip, right, is that, I mean, it's getting the most out of the weight that you're using.
Yeah, I do. I don't want anybody to record this and send it to Dante because I don't have an argument with him about over DC training, because I do think that the progressive overload principle still does build a lot of muscle tissue. Wow. But I don't think it's the only way to do that either. And it's the only way to, you know, there's building muscle, there's refining of physique. There's a lot to it.
It's not just though. I mean, I think it's not just the weight. You can be progressive, but I mean, it's about getting more, like, you know, I mean, for me getting stronger, for instance, I got to, it was like the 110 pound dumbbells this past workout. I'm building my strength back up on my incline dumbbell presses, and I got 8. And I'm going to shoot for 10, of course, but I'm going to shoot for 10 of higher quality, and that might take me a few workouts. But I'd still say that's progressing, isn't it? You know, like,
well, yeah,
learning to get better quality reps out of it.
Yeah, I just think that my biggest argument with progressive overload is I think anybody can get from 8 to 10 with the same weight and call it progression if they just speed up the tempo,
yeah,
or they shorten the range of motion. And I think that when you're so focused on the progression, if you're too focused on it, there are going to be ways subconsciously that you're going to get around it. So I don't think it should be the number one focus. But again, everybody grows different. Some people can grow like crazy with progressive overload and they can just bang weights. And other people have, you know, they respond very well to time under tension and different types of approaches. So I guess my biggest point is there, to me, there's just not that one way to, that one blanket statement where you, or method where you can put everybody underneath that same umbrella. They all work to some degree. You know, I wanted to touch real quick, because I don't want to forget about this, Nate. There's people listening who may not know a lot about your background, and I'm wondering for them, how long have you been in the game? I mean, how long have you been competing? How long have you been training? Serious training, you know, that sort of thing. Pursuing, hey, I want to be a competitor. I want to be a pro.
Well, actually, it's funny because some of those people that might not have heard, me and Scott actually had an interview a while back, and I actually got into bodybuilding because I got clean and sober from drug addiction. And that was about probably 8 years ago. And I sort of just like got clean and got in the gym, and I was like, wow, I really like this, you know what I mean? And I didn't really think about bodybuilding. It was just sort of like lifting weights, like felt good, right? You know what I mean? Like that sort of outlet. And then it was just like, after like 9 months, you know, people coming up to me like, hey, you should do a bodybuilding show, or like, hey, like, are you taking shit? You know what I mean? Which I wasn't, you know what I mean? So like all those like indicators, like, and I was getting much stronger than other people that I started out with. Like, so I sort of took off fairly quick. And then, you know, people were starting to come to me, hey, you ever do a bodybuilding show? And then it sort of like my mind started turning. And then like interesting fact is actually my older half sister, she used to compete bodybuilding back in the day. She's like 20 years older than me, but she like did USAs and stuff like that as a female bodybuilder. So there's always like that in the back of my mind, like, oh, I might have the genetics to be like a good bodybuilder. You know what I mean?
Let me ask you, how old is your sister?
She's about 52 now.
I'm about 49. Is she hot? I mean, I'm just curious. Well, I mean, is she relative? I know she's your sister, so she on Tinder too? Okay. No. I'll quit. My wife might hear me through the anyway. All right. So it hasn't been a long, I mean, it hasn't been a long time. It's funny that you say 9 months, somebody noticed, say, hey, you should have been doing, you know, maybe you should do a bodybuilding show. I think it was like 9 years. they didn't ask me to do a show. They're just like, oh, did you start working out? I'm like, bitch, it's 9 fucking years. Okay, yeah. Back to Nate. But here's my next question, though. I'm curious to transition from then your experience. How did you meet up with Andrew Berry? By the way, I just secured the website andrewberry.com, and I'm going to redredect that to Team Skip.
Good call. So good move.
Yeah, I know. It's a business move, right? It's not a bad idea. He should have owned it. He should have fucking owned it. Anyway.
So I actually competed naturally for the first couple of years. And then, so I just did my own preps and stuff like that and sort of did my own research. And I mean, I did all right. Like, I still got in condition, but it was just like not quite where I needed to be, obviously. So then one of my friends actually in the area, Andrew's only like an hour and a half, 2 hours away from me. So his brother-in-law actually went to my gym and he was like telling me like, yeah, this is my brother-in-law, and showed me pictures and he looked really good. And was like, yeah, he does coaching and this and that. And then I went to one of his shows and saw him, and he was really impressive. And then we went out to dinner after, and we just sort of sat down and shot the shit. And I was just sort of like, in the back of my mind, I was like, you know, interviewing him, you know, when we were at the dinner table, whatever, and sort of just asking him questions. And we just really clicked right off the bat. Like, he seemed like a really genuine guy, had a lot of great education, like really well-spoken, and then also was a really great bodybuilder too. So it's sort of like all those boxes were sort of getting checked. And we just sort of like started from there, and it's been, we're great friends now, and like had a great journey together. And yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, there's been no, I've had a lot of people say like, oh, you know, like, why don't you work with, you know, this guy, fill in the blank guru, or, you know, this person. And I'm like, I don't know. It's working. Like, why would I?
You know Thank what I mean? You. Like, we had this, and this is why I asked you this. Scott knows this. We had this topic come up about people who bounce around from prep coach to prep coach. And I think I use Nate as an example, right? With Andrew, about how they have, if you've worked with someone else, you've worked with Andrew the longest, if I'm not mistaken. So my guess, without knowing you, was that you had built that relationship of essentially trust. Right. And the longer you work with somebody, my point about bringing this up on the podcast was, the longer a client works with a trainer, the more that trainer knows and the more the client learns. Instead of bouncing around where you have to then deal with different methods, it becomes a little bit of guesswork with timing, with peaking, with water, with, you know, whatever methods may be used at the last minute, but also with dieting technique and things like that. So I give you props for hanging in there. And if anybody tells you, and you already know this, and I get that and I respect that, but if anybody tells you need to go with someone else, especially when it comes to any type of status or anything else, just tell them to fuck right off. Because you guys have a winning combination and things are going well. And the fact that you guys have a relationship, you trust him, that's awesome. And I mean, that's coming from a prep guy. You know, I'd sooner, hey, I work with you, Nate. Yeah. But I'm not, what you got going is working, and there's no reason for you to change what you're doing. So props to you and props to Andrew, because he clearly does good work for you. You guys do good work together. So that's cool shit.
The thing too is like, it's you see a lot of guys too, they sort of hop around like they're gonna have like some magic answer the next guy they go to. Right. I think it's really, I mean, pretty basic stuff, you know what I mean? No matter what level you're at, it's like, and usually the guys that are hopping around, it's usually comes back into their lap because they're not doing something right, you know what I mean, or not following the program,
right?
You know what I mean? And then they go to some other coach like looking for the answer, and it's like, well, if you're not following everything to a T, like, you're not really gonna get the answer from any other guy, you know?
Well, and I think it comes back to that trust level. You trust that he's not keeping something from you that is some big secret.
Yeah.
The other thing too, I think is huge is, and may play a part, may not, but for a lot of people it does. You know, a lot of people who compete even once or twice are prep guys. So half of their bouncing around is to gain as much knowledge as they can from 20 people because they don't have it themselves. So they try to pick up different, experience or different methods from different people, and then they combine it and then all of a sudden call it their own. You know, slap a label and call it their own thing. So if you haven't been working with clients, then that probably never crossed your mind. Hey, I need to work with these 10 other people so that I can gain all this knowledge and then go out and make a bunch of money.
What kind of changes now, weight-wise, did you make between this year and your last year on stage? Because I've seen the pictures. In fact, I want to see if I can grab a couple of them and put them up here so everybody can see them. I've seen the difference between previous years to now, and you've made a substantial change.
Well, the funny thing is, actually, like, I haven't really made a huge lot of weight gain, but, like, my physique has changed drastically. Like, So 3 years ago, I put up a comparison picture with my first time at Nationals in 2016.
Yes.
I think you saw that one maybe. And then like the most recent Nationals, and that was only about 10 pounds difference. Huh. But like the it's just like drastic, you know. So each year I've only put on about 5 pounds of tissue, or each competition season. So last year I did Atlanta, or 2018 I did Atlantic States, and then I did USA's, and I was only 230. And this year at both shows I was like 235.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I mean maybe a little like better condition this year, obviously, but not by much where it would like change a bunch of weight. But I tend to like put on when I progress. I don't really put on a whole lot of scale weight. It just sort of like the changes happen to my physique, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
Which is important note, because I don't know how many times I say that people are so focused sometimes on moving up to the next weight class, and they get to the next weight class and you look and you go, you just really don't look any different, but you weigh 18 more pounds. Yeah. There can be a substantial change visually in a physique when there isn't much of a scale weight change. So I'm really glad to hear you say that. And I don't know that I've seen the picture comparison that you're talking about, but I'd love to see it, because that would drive the point home for sure.
Well, the good one was like my back double bicep was pretty dramatic. Like it just looks like totally different. Not to like toot my own horn, but it was pretty cool to see, you know, when you put it up, because you don't really realize sometimes, and then you're like, oh shit, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, no one's gonna take you as arrogant, Nate. Nice try.
So what's
make that mistake.
What's the game plan now? You know, Nationals being the last show of the year here. How does the qualification work now? Are you qualified for next year, or do you have to requalify?
Yeah, so top five, I should be qualified for another year.
Okay.
Or a calendar year. I can't remember how they do it. But if you place top five, you're pretty much qualified for the next season at a national show. So we're pretty much looking at – I think we're going to shoot for Nationals next year again, just so it gives me time to put on some significant progress. Like,
nice.
I sort of want to come back and just, I don't know, like not sound arrogant again, but like slam the door shut, you know. It's like I feel like I'm pretty close, and – I don't really want to have that thing where it's like, oh, like second, third, or you know what I mean? I just sort of want to come in and be like, okay, like the job's done. You know what I mean?
You're going for the overall.
Not necessarily like, I mean, I feel like I have a great physique right now, but there's still pieces that could be better. I think, you know, right now my focus is like getting my quads a little better and maybe chest a little fuller and just creating that shape a little bit more. And like we were sort of talking about earlier, I think Skip is like, it's not all about the pro card, because like I want to be able to step on a pro stage anyway. So it's almost like a bittersweet getting like, you know, runner up twice, because like this gives me an opportunity to be like, it gives me an opportunity to also like go for an overall like national title, which would be pretty fucking badass. Cool. You know what I mean? Instead of being like, oh, I got a second place pro card. No offense to anyone that gets that. I would have taken it, obviously.
Sure. Sure.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you gotta be optimistic. You know what I mean? And that way too, like when I turn pro, this gives me another chance to be more pro ready. You know what I mean? Instead of sitting around for 2 or 3 years trying to make improvements to step on a pro stage to think I'm good enough or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool, man. We don't see it very often anymore where guys turn pro and then go immediately onto the pro stage. You know, that would be badass. That's what that's what I'm shooting for you then. I want to see that happen. We've had a bunch of people that, you know, I mean, I know have been inspired clients of mine that have been inspired by the work that you've put in this last year. What's some of the advice that you would give to them? I know I asked you the same question when we recorded last time. Would you believe that was like 4 months ago now? I looked at it. I said on Skype the last time we had that conversation. 4 months. It doesn't feel like 4 months to me. But
means we're getting older.
Right. But with 4 months of additional reflection now, and having competed again, and having had the experience you had, what would be some of the advice you'd pass on to those guys? The guys that, you know, bodybuilding by bodybuilders, your board, and, you know, everybody else that's listening to this show right now.
I mean, it's about perfecting your craft in bodybuilding. I think, how can you be 100% and stay consistent with that 100%? And also, I was talking to someone about this the other day. It's like every year or every competition season, you almost unlock a new level of how can I be more perfect. So that means like right now I can only be as good as I can be right now, whereas like next year I could probably be better. It's like you learn new stuff, you know what I mean, each year. And it's almost like in this moment, I can only be as good as I can. So it's like, and then next competition season, like, you know what I mean? After you go through that, like yourself, you look back and you're like, man, I was training 100% 3 years ago, but it's much different than my 100%, you know, two or now, you know what I mean? So it's almost like each year unlocking that, how can I maximize my potential? And honestly, like, it's just consistency, man. You know what I mean? Like doing the same shit over and over again and getting better at it and wiser and smarter. Like training, I think the biggest thing for me with training is just like, how can I be smarter at the same time as like training my balls off? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a good, like you gotta have a good combo. It's not necessarily, as you get older, you realize like, okay, to like make my physique better, it's like, I also gotta like become like wiser too as I train heavier. Like it's like having that intuition too. Mm-hmm. It's like knowing when to like back off, knowing when to push. It's like mm-hmm. knowing when to rest. Like the biggest thing too for me is like as I matured is like recovery and rest has been huge. Whereas younger, you know, I train 6 days, 7 days a week. You know what I mean? Like more is better, right?
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
It's sort of like learning that kind of stuff. Like, oh shit, like I'm doing less but I'm progressing more. You know what I mean? And sort of like unlocking that intuition, like I said.
That's a good answer.
Efficiency.
Yep, I like that.
I agree.
I like all that. Skip, you got anything for Nate?
No, I think what he's saying is a lot of it's about efficiency. It's a balancing act. If it were just about how hard you could train, people out there would be training a lot harder than they are and getting a whole lot better than they are.
True.
So it is. It's a balancing act. And you made a good point about getting older because you got to be able to know how far you can push, get your toe to that line, pull it back just in time before you have any issues. You leave it over that line, you may be out for 6 months. You never know. How old are you, Nate?
33.
Okay.
Right. He's got a lot of life left in him as a bodybuilder.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
really
especially
like
from dog years. He's pretty young because he hasn't been training a long time. So.
right.
And I think the story is good, too. I mean, not that it, you know, it matters as far as your, you know, your progress and where you're going, but it's a good story in the sense that, you know, if you were essentially saved from, you know, a drug addiction or a drug problem and you got into, you know, you always have to give up something, give up one vice for another. And you hope that the one that you give up was worse than the one you gain.
Yeah.
In this case, it sounds like that's the case. So I think it's a great story as well.
I think another thing too that really helped me out, like me and Scott touched base on this a little bit, but I think too is like learning how to manage your bodybuilding career. Mm. So like meaning like, okay, like, so like during prep, it's like, I need to know when to like come home and like give my girlfriend a hug and a kiss and talk to her instead of just walk, like, cause naturally, well, during prep 2 weeks out, you walk in the other room and just go sit down, watch TV. Don't even like no one's around. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like those learning tools too. Like if you can learn to prep and do this stuff and manage your life better, it's overall, you're going to have better progression. I think because there's going to be less stressors, like overall life is going to be more better. So if all that stuff is sort of clicking, usually bodybuilding is clicking, right? So if like life is going to shit or like there's a lot of stressors going on, usually it's pretty hard to like manage your meals, fit everything in, have everything be 100%. You know what I'm saying?
Dude. It's also difficult to have anybody there support you 100% on the day when you actually compete too, if you've been a prick for, for a long time and haven't treated people very well. And I've seen it happen time and time again. Yeah. Or they're there, but you can tell they were done 3 months ago. So
yeah.
you make good points. Absolutely. Balance is everything. Yeah. If you're going to do it and enjoy it and have the people around you enjoy it and want to support you, there has to be some sort of balance.
Yeah, that's huge. I've known so many people, I mean, myself included at times, where my life wasn't in the place it should be, where I'm dealing with too much stress for one reason or another. It's interesting the way you put that, because it's almost like what you're saying is that part of being the best bodybuilder you can be is also being like the best, you know, significant other to your girlfriend that you can be, the best, you know, son that you can be, the best person at work that you can be. Those things all play into reducing the stress and to having that quality of life. And then, yeah, man, I could think of it, you know, the more stress-free you are, the better progress you make, be it in the off season or your prep, no matter what, man, your progress is just going to be better. I see so many guys, young guys, especially, yeah. I mean, I can relate to it. I've been there, like I said, that are just not in that space right now.
will you ever go through a breakup, you know what I mean, and try to eat like, you know, 6,000 calories of your meals? Like, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that affects you, like anxiety, stress. It's like, dude, it's so hard to eat. Like if all that stuff is, you know what I mean, out of whack, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's funny that you say that because again, your response is not typical. The typical response, and there are people listening to your interview right now who are saying, oh man, you know, well, he's wrong. I know if I want to be a pro, I just got to put all my eggs in one basket and I got to tell people to go fuck themselves. When I got my music in, man. I'm trying to train. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to train over here and you're getting in my way of my pro card. It's just a lot of people who are just so one dimensional and that they really, I think a lot of times don't give a shit about anything other than themselves. And then like I said, it creates a situation where come game day, no one wants to be around. If they're around, they don't give a shit. So I appreciate it. I appreciate your perspective, man.
I appreciate that.
You got anything else for Nate Skip while we've got him here?
No, I mean, I covered the Tinder. I tell you, if you get down here this way, and it was funny, Scott was kind of trying to pin you down, and I was expecting you, but you're too nice to just tell him, be like, bro, I just slid in under the radar. Like, what the fuck? Am I going to tell you what my plans are? I'm going to show up. I'm going to say, I'm like, dude, he's going to show up at USA's and fuck everybody up. But I didn't want to give it away. Anyway, no, I mean, other than, look, if it works for you to slide in somewhere, don't answer anybody, fucking play it down and do you and take care of it. And you can answer to him when it's all done.
That's a good deal. I like that.
We weren't supposed to tell anyone about USA's, but
I tell you, if that was the plan, somebody should have told me. Like I said, I don't know if that's the case. I will tell you this. If you get down here to Nationals, I mean, I'll obviously be at Nationals because it's basically in my backyard. But you get down this way and you have time. Clearly, if you're competing, it's no obligation. You got plenty of stuff. You got people with you and that sort of thing. And Andrew, too. I don't know if Andrew wants Skip hanging around or not. But if you guys are hanging out, you want to get some food, you know, I'm going to be hollering at you if you're there. I'll be pulling for you. And
definitely.
I get a chance to shake your hand, if I get a chance to meet a new pro, if I get a chance to meet you and you took third, I still have dinner with you and shoot the shit, man. You're a good dude.
Definitely. I appreciate that. My dad actually lives in Vero Beach. I know it's a little ways away, but I do go down there sometimes. So
nice.
For sure.
Get this way. If you're going to get this way, you got to get down here, though, in the middle of that fucking New England weather, man.
Right. Oh, it's rough.
You got a few more months left too. Same here.
That's what makes me so hardcore. No,
exactly.
All right, guys, let's get out of here for another episode of I don't know what to call this. Is this Advices Radio? Is this Think Big Bodybuilding Media? It's no longer the Road to Nationals because the Road to Nationals is over until next year.
Sailed.
But whatever it is, we've got Nate Spear with us, super heavyweight, and of course Skip. Thanks for your time, man. Thanks for joining us. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, man. That was great.
Nate, between two dumbbells. That's all.
See you guys.